له، ونشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له، ونشهد أن سيدنا ومولانا محمدا عبده ورسوله. أما بعد، فقد قال الله سبحانه وتعالى في القرآن المجيد: أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم، بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. يا أيها الذين آمنوا كتب عليكم الصيام كما كتب على الذين من قبلكم لعلكم تتقون. وقال النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم: أوله رحمة، وأوسطه مغفرة، وآخره عتق من النار. وكما قال عليه الصلاة والسلام: Respected elders and beloved brothers in Islam, all praise be to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, our nourisher, our creator, our sustainer. And may the choices of salawat and barakat and rahmat be upon Nabiya Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Allahumma salli ala Sayyidina Muhammad wa ala Ali Muhammad kama sallaita ala Ibrahim wa ala Ali Ibrahim innaka hamidun majid. We praise Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for granting us all the tawfiq, the opportunity and the ability to be present in the month of Ramadan. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, over and above that, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala had granted us the ability to witness now, alhamdulillah, with the fazl of Allah, the last 10 days and nights of the month of Ramadan. As we all are aware, that this Friday, this Jumu'ah, might be the last Friday of the month of Ramadan. Next week Friday might, there is a possibility it might be Eid or it might be Saturday. And you find that this is the last full week we have of the month of Ramadan at our hand. And when it comes to this weekend, this is the last weekend we have of the month of Ramadan. So you find that this is not an opportunity for us to rejoice and to be happy and to be glad, but rather this is an occasion of sadness, because this great Mubarak month of Ramadan is slowly coming to an end. Nabiya Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam in a hadith has mentioned, أَوَّلُهُ rahma, that when it comes to the first 10 days and nights of the month of Ramadan, then these first 10 days, they are the days of mercy, the days of the clemency and the rahmat of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The rahmat of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is raining down upon us in these first 10 days and nights of the month of Ramadan. Then, أَوْسَتُهُ مَغْفِرًا, the middle 10 days, they are the days of forgiveness. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will forgive your sins on these 10 days and nights of the month of Ramadan. And then Nabiya Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam mentions, وَآخِرُهُ, the last final 10 days, they are itqum مِنَ النَّارِ. These 10 days are the deliverance from Jahannam. Meaning we should beg Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to forgive us and to grant us Jannah and to save us from Jahannam in these last 10 days. So a person should utilize this time and beg Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Beg Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala from the bottom of your heart that, oh Allah, save me from Jahannam. Allahumma ajinna min al-nar. Allahumma ajinna min al-nar. Oh Allah, forgive us and oh Allah, save us from the fire of Jahannam. There are always two types of people in the world. The pessimists and the optimists. And then when you look at the month of Ramadan, whenever something is about to end, especially the month of Ramadan, then there are two groups, there are two types of people that you will find. The first type of person, or the first group of people, when you want to, exclude individuals, if you want to generalize it, when there are a first group of people, who are these people? When the month of Ramadan is coming to an end, then they are happy, they are glad, they are rejoicing. And they can't wait for the month of Ramadan to end. Basically, they've been waiting for the month of Ramadan to end from the time Ramadan started. And these people, they can't wait to end Taraweeh. Because now, no longer I have to stay in the masjid, or that if they were coming to the masjid, or that is if they were reading Taraweeh Salah, that now I can't wait for Taraweeh to end. Taraweeh is coming to an end, so I'm glad it's over. And fasting, I don't have to remain hungry anymore. So this person's outlook towards Ramadan was that this person had taken Ramadan as a burden. Basically, he says that, you know, I can't wait for it to be over. And you find now this person, in his in his heart, at the bottom of his heart, or hidden away at his heart, he's also saying to himself that, you know, that now all the gunas and harams that I was abstaining from in the month of Ramadan, whether it was the television or whatever other harams or gunas he was committing before the month of Ramadan, now he's saying to himself that now after Ramadan is over, now I can do what I want. I can go back to all those gunas which I was doing. So we find Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala save us from ever being from this group. This is the first type of person whose outlook towards the entire month of Ramadan is burdened. And the second group of people are those who, when the month of Ramadan is coming to an end, they meet the month of Ramadan, and rather they look at the month of Ramadan with sadness and grief, and they are crying that, oh Allah, I tried my best to utilize every single moment and every single second and every single minute in this month of Ramadan constructively. But, Ya Allah, I could not fulfill this task to my ability. Basically, he regrets not doing enough in the month of Ramadan. And when the month of Ramadan is leaving, He looks at the month of Ramadan with a heavy heart, that, oh Allah, forgive me, I did not do as I ought to have done. So why? Because this person, he looks at the month of Ramadan that, Ya Allah, there's no longer going to be that atmosphere of ibadat in the month of Ramadan, now present after the month of Ramadan. And then when it comes to Taraweeh Salah, there will no longer be Taraweeh Salah. Yes, there will be tilawat of Quran. There has to be tilawat of Quran. Quran is not only for the month of Ramadan, and then after you put it on the shelf, and then the next year Ramadan, then you touch it again. No, the month of Ramadan is a training ground for the rest of the year. And then this person, he looks at Ramadan, and then he says that this month was a month of rahmat, the month of barakah. This was a month of the acceptance of du'as. And this was a month of crying. And he looks at this month that, Ya Allah, this month is now going away. Ya Allah, accept my ibadat. So his outlook is, Ya Allah, whatever ibadat I have done, Ya Allah, please accept it for me. Ya Allah, whatever tawbah I have done, accept it, whatever du'as I have made. So this is his outlook, that, Ya Allah, this is a month of sadness, grief, crying. So may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala accept our roza, may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala accept our ibadat, and may Allah grant us that tawfiq of being from this group. The ulama explain, also when it comes to your roza, when it comes to your fasting, then there are three qualities when it comes to your fast. When it comes to your fast, there are three grades, three qualities, and three types of descriptions the ulama give when it comes to a person's fast. The first grade is the lowest grade. So this is the grade where a person, he fasts in the month of Ramadan, but he abstains from eating and drinking, but he doesn't abstain from guna and sin. Basically, this person, he abstained from eating and drinking, but when it came to the gunas, sins, and all those things which he was not supposed to do in the month of Ramadan, he still committed it. So this is the lowest grade. Basically, at least this person, at least he kept his roza. That's as what they say. Then the second grade, the second, description, the second degree, is that person who he abstained from eating and drinking. And he didn't eat, he didn't break his roza, he kept every single roza, he fasted, and he also read his Taraweeh Salah. But together with that, he abstained from the sins of the eyes, the sins of the heart, etc. So this is the second degree, the second quality, or the type of quality given to a person. So this person, he has done good, but you find that he hasn't reached the pinnacle of perfection. So the third, the highest degree, the highest quality given to a person who kept his roza in the month of Ramadan. He abstained from eating, drinking, he kept every roza, he recited tilawat of the Quran, he done ibadat. And together with this, he also abstained from gunas, the sins of the eyes, the sins of the heart, etc. Together with this, the pinnacle of perfection. And the highest degree, the highest quality is that person. He also protected his thoughts, the thoughts of his heart and his mind. So this is the degree, this is the pinnacle of perfection, where a person he keeps roza in the month of Ramadan. So when it comes to the last few days, the last few nights remaining, generally, those who didn't spend their time constructively in the first 20 days, he will think to himself that, you know, it doesn't make a difference. I didn't spend my time constructively in the first 20 days. So now, I mean, the last few days I have left, what can I do? So you find this is a pessimist when it comes to the month of Ramadan. This is negative thinking. This is incorrect thinking. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, remember something. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala judges a person according to the latter, according to the last portion of a person's actions. When it comes to a person, let's say for example, a person, he lived in this world 80 years. He lived this worldly life as a non-Muslim, basically. And the last 1 year of his life, he accepts Islam. Basically, he accepts Islam in the 1 year that he has left of his life. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will not judge him according to those 80 years of kufr and disbelief. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will judge him according to the latter portion of his life. Meaning, Allah will judge him according to that 1 year of Islam, which he had accepted Islam. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will judge him according to that. So here, when it comes to these last final moments, these last final days we have left, whatever ibadat we do, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, there is a possibility Allah will judge us according to that. So a person should utilize his time constructively. And a person should know well that no one knows how many more Ramadans a person will witness in his life. When it comes to Laylatul Qadr, we all know last night was the 23rd night of Ramadan. Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wasallam has mentioned in a hadith that search for Laylatul Qadr in the last odd nights from the last 10 nights of the month of Ramadan. So if you look at present, we have three big nights left. Saturday, which is the 25th, Monday, which is the 27th, and Wednesday, which is the 29th. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in the Quran states, Inna anzalnahu fi laylatil qadr. Wa ma adraka ma laylatil qadr. Verily, we have revealed the Quran on laylatil qadr. Wa ma adraka ma laylatil qadr. Laylatil qadr khayru min alfi shahr. That this night of Qadr, the night of power, is greater in the sight of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Greater, understand that, greater than 1,000 months. Greater. That means not, normally we say 1,000 months, but here it can be even greater than 1,000 months. And what this means is that if a person does ibadat on this night, then basically has reached the target in the sense that if he done ibadat on this night, Allah will grant him the reward of greater than 1,000 months. So the ulama explain 1,000 months. If you take 1,000, if you use your maths in school, you take 1,000 divided by 12, because it's 12 months in a year, then you will find that this equals to 83 years and approximately 3 months. So what this means is if a person on this night, that is 25th, 27th, 29th, if a person does ibadat, let's say, for example, he reads just 2 rakats of salah on this Laylatul Qadr. Who knows? It might be 25th, it might be 27th, 29th. Some ulama say it alternates. It alternates every single year. So, if it is, let's say, for example, if a person, he read 2 rakats of salah on Laylatul Qadr, Allah will grant him the reward of reading 2 rakats of salah for 83 years and 3 months. Allahu Akbar, just for reading 2 rakats of salah, you get the reward of 83 years and 3 months. Hazrat Anas radiallahu ta'ala an, he mentions, this comes in Durr al-Mandur, he says that no ummat, the Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam mentions in the hadith, no ummat ever before the ummat of Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam mentions, no ummah before this ummah was ever granted this opportunity and this ability of getting the reward of 83 years and 3 months. Some mashayikh, it comes regarding them, some great pious predecessors, they say from the time they have become baligh, from the time they have reached puberty and attained bulugh, never ever have they ever missed out one Laylatul Qadr. That is every single odd night. Every single odd night from the time they became baligh till the time they passed away. They made ibadat and they never ever missed out this great night, a Mubarak night. The author of Mazahir Haq, he mentions, obviously, you find ulama have different opinions regarding this night. He says that the angels, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala created the angels and the malaik on this night. And some ulama, they explain that they say that the trees in Jannah were planted on this night. So how can a person ever let this opportunity go by and slip through your hands? Where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala granted you this ability and this tawfiq of getting the reward of 83 years and 3 months. Remember also when it comes to whenever ibadat, the reward of ibadat is increased, then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala also increases the guna, the severity of sin on that night. Let's say for example, a person speaks just one lie on Laylatul Qadr. A person gets the guna, a person gets the sin of lying for 83 years and 3 months. Did you ever think about that? If a person makes ghibat or slander on this one night, whichever night it is, you will get the guna of making ghibat for 83 years and 3 months. If he does one haram or sin or one guna on this night, he gets the guna of 83 years and 3 months on this one night. So let us understand that when the rewards are increased, the guna, the severity of guna is also increased. You find in these last moments that we have left, and these valuable moments and Mubarak days we have left, who knows, that one tawbah you make, those few seconds you have taken out before iftar, you ask Allah, oh Allah, forgive me, oh Allah, forgive me, that one few moments, those few moments that you made tawbah to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, who knows, that will be the means of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala forgiving all your sins. And who knows that if it was those few moments that you utilize in making tawbah and istighfar, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala made that the means of you changing your entire life. Who knows if it was those few seconds of zikr that you begged Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, made istighfar, durood, and la ilaha illallah, you recited some zikr of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. You recited some zikr or some remembrance of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala you made, or some tilawat of Quran. Who knows that will become the means of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's rahmat? Who knows that if it was that few moments you made dua to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, that was the moment of acceptance of dua. So a person shouldn't waste these last few valuable moments away, and while the time away. Remember, a person should understand that when it comes to Sadaqatul Fitr, Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has mentioned in the hadith, Farada Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam Zakatul Fitri. That Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam had made it incumbent. Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam had made it incumbent upon the person who had kept Roza to pay Sadaqatul Fitr. And we all know that today it might be the final collection for Sadaqatul Fitr. So a person should discharge his Sadaqatul Fitr. And Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam in another hadith has mentioned, Hazrat Ibn Abbas radiallahu ta'ala mentions, that Farada Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam Zakatul Fitri. That Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam had made it incumbent upon the person keeping roza to pay his Sadaqatul Fitr. Obviously, if he can afford it, Tuhratan Lissiyam. So that it can purify your roza. Maybe you have done some wrong. Maybe if a person had sworn in the month of Ramadan, or he's spoken some lie, Then you find this Sadaqatul Fitr, it will purify your roza. وَطُعْمَةً لِلْمَسَاكِينَ. And one of the other reasons given for Sadaqatul Fitr, the ulama explain, and the hadith states, is to feed the poor. So a person should try his best to discharge his Sadaqatul Fitr as early as possible. Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, I will end off on this hadith. Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, in one hadith, he had cursed a few people. Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he ascended the minbar, and he cursed a few people. From amongst them was a person who disobeys his parents. One of the few people who are cursed in hadith, Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam in his life had hardly ever cursed any person. He was an embodiment of mercy and rahmat. But you find Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam cursed that person who finds the month of Ramadan but fails to gain maghfirat. So we have these last few moments, these last few days. This is a time for us to beg Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to forgive us. And as they say, إِذَا لَمْ يُغْفَرْ لَهُ فِي رَمَضَانِ فَمَتَى. If you can't gain the maghfirat of Allah, if you can't gain the maghfirat and the forgiveness of Allah in the month of Ramadan, فَمَتَى, then when will you ever gain the maghfirat of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant us tawfiq to practice. Amen.